Now, recently, the Chinese tennis player Qin Wenzhang saw her French Open dreams come to an end after taking a medical timeout for severe menstrual cramps. And speaking after the match, she said, "It's just girls' things, you know. The first day is always so tough, and then I have to do sport, and I always have so much pain in the first day, and I couldn't go against my nature. I wish I can be a man on court, but I cannot in that moment. I really wish I can be a man so that I don't have to suffer from this." Well, to discuss how much of an impact your period has on your sports performance, I'm joined in the studio by Anna Geary, former Cork Camogie player and presenter of Why Girls Quit Sport. And also on the line, I'm joined by Dr. Caoimhe Hartley, GP, with a special interest in women's health. Good morning to you both. Thank you for joining us today. So Anna, first of all, we're talking about this, which is a start, isn't it?
Yes. If my 15-year-old self would have known that my 34-year-old self was going to be on national radio talking about periods, she'd have dug a hole and crawled into it. Because I think that's the crux of the problem, is the lack of discussion, the lack of willingness to openly talk about periods. It nearly becomes a taboo, secret thing. You know, we've all been that woman that has got her period unexpectedly, and you're nearly going around going, have you got a tampon? You don't want to openly talk about it. And that's completely exasperated in the world of sport, because the idea of talking to often your male coach about having a period and maybe, you know, having cramps or, you know, it debilitating your performance, because having your period does impact massively on physical performance. Like that idea, not to mind as an adult woman, but as a teenager, it doesn't and didn't happen in the past either.
When it comes to talking about it, now that you are talking to young girls about staying in sport and giving up sport, do they ever cite this as a reason when they're talking to you?
Well, much actually like the 19-year-old Chinese tennis player, they'll talk around it, but they won't actually talk about it. So I remember when we were filming the documentary and I was talking to the girls about we were going to take part in sport, the very first question that they asked wasn't what sport we're playing, was what do we have to wear? Mm-hmm. And then the second question was, do we have to wear white shorts? White shorts and periods as a teenage girl, even as an adult woman, it's just such a pressure pot and such a, I suppose, a tense place to be, and you don't want to be there, and it is a barrier, and it is often the reason why girls do not commit to it. And often even the idea of body image, and you know, you're not feeling your best around your period, it's another reason. And I think the fact that we're not talking about it then with coaches and openly talk about it with parents and even with players, then it becomes this secret society that nobody wants to admit that they're a part of.
Yeah, and it's an additional pressure that women have to face that,
exactly,
that men don't. And Caoimhe, from your perspective then, when you hear about the tennis player saying her performance was impacted because she was at a certain stage in her cycle, does that make sense to you?
Oh, it absolutely does, yeah. And I think it really reflects how we live in a world largely designed by men and for men. I think it's really sad to hear her say that she wishes, you know, I wish I was a man, I wish I didn't have to deal with this. And we know about a third of women actually do experience really heavy periods or painful periods that can hugely impact their quality of life and their ability to function. When it comes to sports, there's actually been not a lot of research, but there has been some research looking at this. There was research looking in 2020 in Britain looking at female rugby players, and they reported 93% of those women reported menstrual cycle symptoms. And a third of them reported really heavy menstrual bleeding, which kind of fits with the numbers that we have. But almost 70% actually considered these symptoms to impact their performance. And this was replicated in another global survey of more than 14,000 women. And that was conducted by an Irish sports and data science company back in 2020 also. And three quarters of those women reported that their menstrual cycle or symptoms relating to their menstrual cycle actually negatively impacted their performance.
Okay. But for most women, Caoimhe, we're probably not aware how the cycle impacts the body and sports performance.
True. And again, I think we could do with more data and more research on this, but really you can break it down into three different areas. We know that PMS or premenstrual symptoms can have an impact. So lots of women will probably relate to this and know that in the few days coming up to their period, because of hormonal fluctuations, they can get symptoms like bloating and headaches, menstrual migraines, so very severe headaches, nausea. Some people feel, you know, fatigued. And just those kind of awful PMS symptoms that can impact potentially on your ability to train or your performance. Then you have bleeding, it's absolutely no fun to be bleeding once a month. And the bleeding itself can be irregular. So if you're a swimmer or if you're wearing white shorts or, you know, you're trying to plan around this, your periods might be irregular and unpredictable. They can be heavy. We see women experience flooding where they actually flood through the sanitary products that they're wearing, whether it's a tampon or a sanitary towel, etc. And pain, very bad cramping and pain. Mm-hmm. And the last element of this is that we know that some hormonal fluctuations may actually impact on the risk of developing injury and soft tissue injury throughout mm-hmm. your cycle too.
Okay, you're agreeing with that?
I am. I'm actually nodding because it makes so much sense. And I've only started looking into it in the last few years. And I suppose as a player that would have played with Cork for 12 years, we never discussed periods ever from a nutrition point of view, from a strength and conditioning point of view. And like the time most associated, even with you hear the ACL injuries for a woman, I suppose the time you're most susceptible is in around your time of ovulation. Even knowing that as a coach and as a player, being able to adapt your training, maybe like not doing the plyometric movements like hopping and jumping and bounding, like that could have a massive impact on injury prevention. And I know I've spoken with Vera Powell about this before because she does a lot of work in this area too. And the whole idea of in the first kind of 2 weeks of your cycle, that's the time to be, you know, going hard, high intensity training, lifting heavier. That's the time if you want to be hitting your PBs, coming up to ovulation, that's the time. Whereas in the last 2 weeks, that luteal phase, you'd want to be taking, you know, more recovery. You're eating a few more calories because you're around your period, you're getting hungrier. Like these things make sense when you say it out loud, but it's not discussed across the board. Mm. And I think for coaches...
Just interested to hear you say that you've had a conversation with Vera Powell about this, the Irish women's soccer coach. So she is factoring this in.
Absolutely. And she's doing lots of research behind the scenes because even from an injury prevention point of view, we were talking about how your coordination is slightly off as well. Now, this obviously is generalising because different symptoms happen for different women, but your coordination can be off, your concentration even around the time. And, you know, that's the difference between getting an injury and not getting an injury. Mm-hmm. So it is really important. So to me, it's about the education piece now. It's about strength and conditioning coaches, male and female, because this is not just for women. This is about men being educated. And even the language that we use around, we very rarely say the word period. It's time of the month, girls' things, the painters are in, you know, all these Tom has come. We just, and I think if we changed the language and normalised it and almost like worked with our natural physiology rather than against it, it would make sense.
Change the damn shorts.
Exactly. Change the colour of the shorts. Because, you know, any barrier, especially a small barrier, but a very significant barrier, remove
it. I just find it really sad that the conversations you were having with the teenagers started with what are we going to wear?
And they really educated me because you forget sometimes the pressures that are on teenage girls and around your period. But if we do normalise the conversation and destigmatise menstruation, which affects 50% of the population, you know, I think that's a major step.
Yeah, Antrim, I'm told, changed their shorts from white to dark green for ladies football.
And a lot of clubs are doing it now as well.
Yeah, and it would be great if they did, if they all followed suit. But just on that, and you touched on this, Caoimhe, you know, the irregular pattern of periods, particularly for younger women and for girls, they may not be able to predict what day the period is coming. So that's why the white shorts issue is a big one.
Absolutely, yeah. And it can take a few years in early puberty to actually see regular periods kick in. And that unpredictability can really shake your confidence and knowing kind of how to plan for that. You always need something in your bag. You know, you need access to somewhere that has tampons, access to changing facilities for young girls mm-hmm. who are playing sports. All of that is so important. And just like Anna mentioned, you know, knowing kind of when to train and how to train at different points in your cycle, that's all kind of emerging data that we have now. We really need more research into this to have kind of confidence with how to guide women. You know, the suspicion is that high estrogen levels actually increase joint laxity. So it doesn't mean that you stop training at that time, but knowing how to track and monitor your cycle, you will allow women to adapt.
And that's what you're saying, Anna, is you train in a different way at different times of the month.
Exactly. And I've started to adapt that now because it's incredibly frustrating when you feel, I was lifting heavier last week, why can't I do it today? But it's a physiological response in your body. And like, I suppose really even like the early sports medicine research that was done, it was about men and women were treated as small men, which obviously we have a very physiologically like different makeup. So now the research is emerging. It's a massive area for the research and for gaps. And so anyone looking to do a master's, by all means, that should be the area you're looking to do it on. But I just think think about weight loss right now. You know, men and women trying to lose weight, particularly women. If you step on the scales at different times of the month, you could actually think that, oh, this isn't working, what I'm doing, I'm eating healthier, I'm exercising more. But if you're stepping on the scales in week one of your cycle versus week four, Like, I know I go up sometimes a kg, kg and a half around the time of my period. Mm-hmm. So it's about making sure that you're weighing yourself week one versus week one, week two versus week two, etc. Because I have had women message me saying, I'm going to pack it in. I've tried this for a month. The scale's up and down. But your period and your cycle does affect what the scale says as well. So
are you in
that.
The abandoned scales camp?
Oh, absolutely. I don't have a scales in the house. I don't use it. I think psychologically can have a massive impact. To me, there's much better ways. There's body measurements. There's how your clothes fit. But also away from weight, your mood, your sleep, even, I suppose, your discipline around food. You know, exercise has a massive impact on all of those things. So it's just for people to understand that your menstrual cycle has much more of an impact on different aspects of your life, even your irritability. You know, we've all had that day where the person's got, right, now I know why she's a little irritable.
So just coming back to how to start this conversation at a team level, does it start with the coach then?
Well, funny you say that, because a good friend of mine, a man, was going in as a strength and conditioning coach for a women's team, first time training women. And he was asking me my opinion on it. And I said, you need to address this in your very first talk. Normalise it. Don't make a big thing about it, because it's important. Like, again, how adjusting training, and you need.
So you were saying to the male strength and conditioning coach, the first thing you talk about are periods.
You weren't making it easy for them, were you? When you meet the girls for the first time, you're talking about your setup and you're talking about your plan for the year. Mention it. Drop it into conversation. Don't make it a big thing. But once they know that you're aware that you're factoring in, and obviously girls' cycles are different, but then it's almost like there's a trust and a relationship between a coach and player saying, look, you know, by the way, for anyone that might be at that time of the month, you know, plyometric movements, today we're doing a lot of bounding, maybe step out of this one, do something else. And just, again,
normalise it.
Adapt the training.
And it would be great, Caoimhe, wouldn't it, to see more research happening? You know, people from the medical field coming together with professional and amateur sports.
Oh, definitely. And Anna's right. I think there was this kind of attitude in research historically for years that the way research was done is basically, well, we'll look at men because they have a stable hormonal environment. So they make easier research subjects, and then we'll just extrapolate from that and assume women are the same. Not true. No. There's a large study in Baltimore in the States looking at aging, and that's exactly what they did. They took thousands of men and just assumed the same would apply to women. Didn't include a single woman in the study for years.
So that attitude
has to change.
Yeah, I mean, when you know something affects how you respond to training, affects how you recover, and affects how you metabolize and break down food for energy, it's a massive thing. And even in life, not to mind if, like, it's not even about top performing athletes, just your everyday exercise, being able to understand. But I would say the first place when I started doing this is tracking your cycle, because not everybody goes the 28 days. And like that, now there's apps, there's an app called Fitter Woman. It's a free app. It'll help you track your cycle. Even fitness trackers now have built in aspects where we can look at your menstrual cycle and say if you need a rest day or, and that's very important. It's a really good place for people to start, because again, education, make yourself more aware, and then you can make the appropriate change.
And Caoimhe, do we know if women are on the contraceptive pill and it's suiting them, whether that helps with some of the symptoms that might impact their performance?
Yeah, so I think knowledge and tracking your cycle and kind of all of that information is really important for young women in particular. I think the next step is making sure that they know what options are available to manage these symptoms, to help them if they have very heavy bleeding, what options are out there to actually improve that. The pill is a really good option. So the combined oral contraceptive pill, which contains estrogen and progestogen, is not an option for every woman. There's certain medical conditions that would say you can't go down that route, but it can really significantly reduce bleeding and heavy bleeding. It can make your cycle more regular, and it can reduce some of those PMS-type symptoms. The problem is a lot of women get side effects from the pill, so you have to factor that in. It's hugely individual, and that's where maybe having a discussion with your GP comes in.
All right.
And there are other options. We have non-hormonal options and other options too.
Okay, well look, maybe we'll come back to those other options. But in the meantime, it's great to get the conversation going. Dr. Caoimhe Hartley and Anna Geary, thank you both very much.
Thanks, Claire.
Let's take a break.
Thank you.